Well, welcome to another episode of WA This Week. And look, just at the outset, I want to give a special mention of the people, the volunteers, firefighters and the communities that faced the dreadful bushfires in the southwest of Western Australia, in the central wheat belt. I met volunteers who quite literally have not slept since that bushfires, the fire coordinators, you know, people out there in the field, because today is an especially concerning day. It's going to be hotter and windier, and there's a great concern that those fires could flare up. I will say, in terms of environmental damage, I grew up on a farm. I've seen lots of bushfires. I've never seen a fire cause so much damage to trees. There must be hundreds of thousands of trees lost on farms and through reserves for this fire. I've never seen anything like it in terms of damage to trees. But as I say, thank goodness no one was killed in those fires. It was the grace of God. If the wind hadn't changed, I suspect that the township of Corrigan would have been very seriously impacted by the fires, equally the town of Wickapin. But when you see the work that was done by those people, you've just got the most admiration I have. And I will say, an issue that's been historic has been poor coordination between FISA, the Fire and Emergency Services, and the volunteers. And what I can say this time is universally, everyone was just full of praise in the way that FISA seamlessly integrated with the volunteers, and it's just a wonderful coordinated effort. And can I say now, it's overwhelming to see the positive response of the public and the community right around Australia to this. Just so full of admiration for the people that were there on the day. You can see etched in their faces the fear that they experienced, but that, as I say, that we had such a positive outcome in terms of life and very limited property damage is really remarkable. But the response of the community to help those people is really impressive, and it's going to be a big, you can see there's going to be an enormous an emotional and mental toll on people, and that's something we need to focus on in these disasters too. You know, it's going to be many, many months and maybe years before there's full recovery in the areas that were affected. And so as a community and as government, we need to make sure that there's no lack of focus going out into the future, supporting those communities to recover. Back on a less dramatic topic, you know, we saw exemplified today, or this week at least, WA's Labor's really sort of you know, double standards, you might say, in relation to the way that they let people in the state. Now, you know, I've just throughout this whole COVID crisis had so many contacts from people, really heartbreaking stories of family separation. And it is, you can't understand why these individuals and families are being prevented from reuniting. I mean, everyone understands that people who are just tourists or people who are just going somewhere because they want to go there, that would have been inappropriate. But when you've got parents separated from children, literally on a number of occasions, parents have gone to care for a dying parent and then a refused entry back into the state. It's incomprehensible. And I think for a lot of people, you know, something that highlighted this was the sudden movement of all of the AFLW teams into the state. Now, look, I think like every Western Australian, every Australian, immensely proud of the AFLW competition. I think it's been a revelation for many of us. But if you can let all these football teams into the state, why are mothers still separated from their children? You know, parents that have gone out of the state are refused entry to come back into it when they've gone over interstate to care for a dying parent themselves. You know, it is a real hypocrisy and double standard. And we've seen it in, you know, certain high profile business people seem to be able to travel at will. But again, you know, people with the most genuine, compassionate reasons for coming back to family or joining family, children who are isolated from parents, suffering mental illness, trapped in the eastern states. Look, we know that there's a restriction on numbers, but the reality is there are still an enormous number of Western Australians overseas and interstate who cannot come home. And the Labor government needs to be consistent in the way that they apply the rules. And that's what we've always asked for, consistency. One, that the rules are based on medical advice, and two, that they're applied equally to every person in this state, not on an individual basis or not based on the Premier's popularity. Along those lines, we see more chaotic announcements or management of the COVID crisis by the McGowan Labor government. We saw the Premier make this ad hoc decision around banning school camps. Now, I go to a very large number. In fact, I go to every school in my area. I go to the school graduation ceremonies at the end of the year. It's really interesting when the children are asked to get up and talk about what was their most memorable experience. I would say that for probably 80% of the kids, their most memorable experience is their school camp. Typically for the kids, especially in their last year, they'll have a big school camp, and that's what sticks in their mind. That's the most positive memory they have of their school experience, their junior school or their senior school experience. And here we have the Premier banning school camps. Now, no, the other states haven't done this. We know that those school camps can be managed safely in the same way that children's attendance at school is being managed safely. And this has had the most enormous detrimental impact, not just on those school kids who are going to miss out. I mean, this is for many of them, so the junior school kids in year six, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that they have. But the many hundreds and hundreds of businesses that depend on those school camps, and it was so arbitrary, just ad hoc cancelling. And, you know, we heard a story of a particular camp down south. I mean, they had 20 staff. They had to go and say, unfortunately, none of you have a job. And that particular business has lost over $300,000 of business. And the Premier and the Education Minister, Sue Ellery's statements that people could simply postpone those camps to a later date, as was pointed out by the operators, these camps are booked out a year ahead. So those students will have lost that chance forever. And, there doesn't seem to be any logic to the decision. It seems to be ad hoc, and it's something we've seen constantly in this COVID crisis. Mark McGowan appears to constantly want to hog the media, coming out with statements that he's the tough, man making the tough decision. Now, he's obviously benefited politically from taking the tough stance on everything, but it does appear on a number of occasions that he's making these announcements for appearances and to perpetuate that image that he's protecting everyone when there's no good reason for it, and it's harming the people that are affected by the immediate decision and harming all of those businesses. And one thing we've seen throughout this crisis in Western Australia, support for businesses affected by government decisions on COVID restrictions has been the poorest of any state in Australia. And the Labor Party has simply not stepped up. Mark McGowan needs to stop thinking about his popularity, and he needs to start thinking about the well-being and the welfare of the people across Western Australia. And that's no more so than in our hospitals. Now, we hear these grand announcements from the government. We've got a government that thinks announcing expenditure is doing something. To be frank, anyone can announce some enormous sum of money that they're going to spend on something. But what really counts is fixing the problems, actually doing something on the ground. You can announce any amount of money, but you actually need to do something. And what do we see in our hospitals? This month, we're just at the start of the month, already over 1,000 hours of hospital ramping. And effectively, our hospital system has not been impacted by COVID at all at this stage. So this is a hospital system. Apparently, we're going to cope with the arrival of the Omicron virus, and the Premier and the Health Minister have told us this, and they've promised that this is the case. But already, without COVID in the hospitals, what are we seeing? Again, record ambulance ramping hours, and that's no idle thing. As Roger Cook, the former Health Minister, pointed out when he was in opposition, you're not talking about numbers, you're talking about people. You're talking about people who can't get into hospitals when they're seriously ill, who are left waiting out in ambulances or waiting in waiting rooms where they can't get the treatment they require for their serious illnesses. So that it's really a complete failure. As I say, announcing money is not doing anything. It's actually fixing the problem. And that is something they're not doing. We've seen, again, cancelling of elective surgeries when, again, we in effect have no impact of COVID on our hospitals at this stage, and yet elective surgeries are being cancelled. So this is a government, they love the big press conferences, they love talking big about they've done something because they've allocated so much money, but when it comes to actually getting the job done, they've failed. I mean, you know, shutting the borders and keeping people out, to be frank, requires very limited effort on the part of government. But solving the problems in the hospitals and the delays, the lack of resources in the hospitals, that requires real work from the Premier, it requires real work from the Minister of Health, Amber Jade Sanderson. You know, they need to actually get in there, work out what the issues are and fix the problems, not just have glossy press announcements where they're talking about dollars. You'd really ask the question, you know, this is a government, they've been in power for 5 years. So they just love to blame the previous government. They love to say it was the fault of the previous government. You know, they own these problems completely. There is no one else who they can blame or say is responsible for the issues we have in our hospitals now other than them. It's a failure of the WA McGowan Labor government. Thank you very much for listening to WA This Week. Don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts and listen. You can also see and share the video version. If you just go to Facebook and search for Dr. David Honey on Facebook, then, you know, my feed, including this, will come up. And thank you very much for joining me again this week, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you.